Is there anyone present wishing to speak in opposition to LD 763? Please just come forward, and if you tell us your name and where you're from, and then you can.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me to speak with you this morning. My name is Bonnie Preston. I'm from Blue Hill, and I'm representing the main chapter of the Alliance for Democracy, which is a national organization. And the testimony that I've prepared came before I heard the explanation for this bill from the people who presented it. And I would like to say that I think that the presentations were focusing on particular types of proposed petition ordinances that might be presented to a town that are sort of technical housekeeping kinds of things. But I think there are unintended consequences to this bill. And I think there are examples where it's a there are much more serious implications of the bill. And that's what I am speaking to. So I've come to speak in opposition to LD 763 because the bill undermines two critically important underpinnings of local democracy in Maine, of which all Mainers are very proud, rightfully so, and these are home rule and our town meeting form of government. Further, this bill gives the select boards powers that should only be exercised by our courts. Not only is this power misplaced, but members of select boards do not have the expertise or the experience to determine whether or not something is permissible under state or federal structures of law. A court of law gathers evidence, hears from witnesses, hears legal arguments from lawyers representing both plaintiffs and defendants, hears summary arguments, considers relevant cases, and only then does the court render its decision. Finally, it's important to keep in mind that even legal renderings by our courts are not immutable. Interpretations change over time as new values become broadly embraced within the larger culture. It is our local town meetings that are the incubators for new ideas about how to promote democracy and protect the welfare of our citizens. LD 763 would have the effect of turning such incubators into iceboxes. Some in this country would say that California is a national leader in innovation. Be that as it may, we in Maine can be proud of the ways in which we are a beacon of light. Our Maine Citizens Trade Policy Commission is one such example, and if you're not familiar with that commission, I can tell you more about it and why it is applicable to this bill. Innovative local ordinances to promote local welfare are other examples. LD 763 threatens to hide these lights under a bushel basket, and I'd like to elaborate just very briefly on a couple of these points. First, keep in mind that the fundamental principle set forth in our state constitution, Article 1, Section 2, is the Declaration of Rights, which says, all power is inherent in the people. All free governments are founded in their authority and instituted for their benefit. They have, therefore, an inalienable and indefeasible right to institute government and to alter, reform, or totally change the same when their happiness and safety require it. We believe this applies on the local level, not just state and federal. Dillon's rule versus home rule. The principle of power being inherent in the people was embedded further into our local system of government when, in 1969, the voters of Maine adopted a constitutional amendment which established Maine as a home rule state. This meant local towns were no longer treated as children of the state, a principle called Dillon's rule, which was established in 1868 in Iowa by a Supreme Court decision there. Dillon's rule was fully adopted for nationwide application to local governments by the U.S. Supreme Court in Hunter versus Pittsburgh in 1907, which upheld the power of Pennsylvania to consolidate two cities into one against the wishes of the majority of the residents. And yet today over 40 states have adopted some form of home rule, which does away with Dillon's rule. So we can see how times can change. Our town meeting form of government is as close as this country gets to real democracy. By this, I mean not just voting for elected representatives, but neighbors actually having rich dialogue about matters of direct importance to the town and finding ways to address these concerns through local ordinances. the will of the people to consider a remedy for a matter of local concern would not be undercut by giving the select board the power to refuse to allow a warrant article to be considered by the voters. Let the ordinance come before the voters, and if it passes over the objections of the select board, then members of the select board are free to bring their concern to a court of law. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Preston. Are there any questions? Representative Cotta.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You've certainly done your homework and made a very strong case. Do you see or would you think in the proposed legislation, if there was a statement of intent as to, you know, it wasn't intended to limit citizens' right for expression, do you see that as maybe being a change to the bill that would probably satisfy your concern?
I'm not certain that it would, and I think part of the difficulty comes up in that difference between a resolution and an ordinance, and I would see a resolution as a statement of concern and saying that, you know, that's not prohibited. But the Alliance for Democracy is active in promoting town ordinances that actually challenge state law, and that's part of the point of some of what we have done and what other groups around the country have done. So allowing a town to pass an actual ordinance is also an important function. And in talking about the the changes over time of how people look at things, that's one of the things that we're trying to do, is to bring a new understanding of what democracy really means and to challenge some of the accepted legal structures, specifically things that have to do with the power of corporations in our government. And so we think it's really critical that that towns actually be able to pass ordinances so it's an actual binding law until somebody challenges it. And many times they're not challenged by the people that they're targeted to. And then the town has made a huge jump in progress.
But on the other side of the coin, could it be said that if the citizenry were bringing forward through a petition process that which they know to be illegal, aren't they kind of quasi-requiring the town, if you will, the select board, as in Representative Schatz might say, they would defend this or they would realize their action would be illegal, so if they continued, they know that the town would incur the cost of litigation? I understand your rights issue, but my question is, without this clarification, aren't we really setting up the local select boards, and I say select boards because that's what my district has in three towns, to be a forum, if you will, to challenging law that they know their actions is contrary to? I don't know if that's the right vehicle.
Let me tell you, can I take some time here?
Sure,
a few
certainly.
Minutes? Some experiences in Pennsylvania where this was pioneered by a group called the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund. And they worked in rural Pennsylvania, which was a real target for corporate, the CAFOs, the confined animal feedlot operations, those massive hog farms, mining interests, waste disposal from most of the eastern seaboard, sending their waste to rural Pennsylvania. And there were many, many examples in this particular area of people trying to do these things in small towns, just what Maine consists mostly of small towns, and the people didn't want them. I mean, who actually wants a 15,000 hog farm in their town? And in one case, they wanted to build a mine right next to an elementary school, and people, you know, obviously didn't want that in their town. And so they began to pass these ordinances because they found out that in the regulatory process, the only thing that counts is whether the application actually, you know, meets all of the standards laid out in the regulations, or at least can convince somebody that they meet those standards, whether they ultimately will or not. And so they could get permits. And so the lawyer from the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund would draft ordinances to say you can't do this in our town. Assuming that if the company really wanted to do it, they would sue the town. And then the town can decide how to move from there. Actually, most of the laws that were passed have not been challenged. And so the town didn't have to have what they didn't want. And there was no cost to anyone because the company decided not to pursue it. If they do pursue it, then the town can decide as to whether or not it's just going to say, okay, we can't afford to fight this, we're not going to, or will actually move on things. And a lot of this has depended on the people in the town, deciding what they were willing to give up to maintain what they saw was so important in their town. There have been ordinances passed in New Hampshire that are similar to the ones that you've probably heard of recently in Maine at Shapley and Newfield, forbidding the commercial extraction of water for water bottling. And those haven't been challenged at this point. So the towns have protected their town, and it hasn't been challenged. And only if it is challenged does any kind of real cost consideration arise, and then towns have to decide what they're going to do about it. But you can make changes even if they're challenged and the town decides not to fight it in court. For example, in California, they passed a town that forbid corporations from making contributions, corporations that weren't based within the county, from making contributions to political campaigns in the county. And even though that was challenged and the county decided that they couldn't afford to fight it and weren't going to fight it, they have found that almost all elected officials now within the county have been refusing to take contributions from out of county corporations, so they're accomplishing their objective. So it's a tool that people can use to further the interests of people as opposed to the interests of the corporations.
Sure.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand what you're saying about small towns, actually expressing or trying to influence development or lack of development or whatever. But it seems to me that we're overlooking the ability of a town. Then you have county government, you have state government, you have the right to petition the legislature, you can go to your representatives and have representation submitted for consideration to be voted on. So there's a process allows many different tiers for the individual to get involved to affect. And what I just heard you mention, obviously, citizen referendum, we have that ability. But absent of law, so that an action wouldn't be contrary to law that didn't exist, you're saying that towns could do that. Well, they can still do that. In this particular proposal, if it isn't counter to a law, they still have that right. So I'm just a little confused. I think we're kind of down on a micro instead of a macro view of what the rights are, but I really appreciate you make a very good point. Thank you.
Is that a question?
Isn't that so?
Okay.
That's a private joke from one of our previous committee members.
Are there any questions from the committee? No. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else present wishing to speak in opposition?